Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World in this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. We hope everybody's good tonight. Man, the weather that we've experienced across this great country of ours has been absolutely brutal, ourselves included. We had a little bit of aftermath from the storms that rushed up through Missouri and did all the horrible damage that it had done there. But I will have to say, here in Indiana, we lucked out, and it wasn't too bad. Just a lot of rain. Though there was some damage, and I'm sure that the folks that were involved with that will say, well, we didn't luck out, but in a general observation of what occurred last night here in the central part of our state, God was with us and everything's okay here at the Animal Compound. We hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we're getting ready for the big event here in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis 500. So I encourage everyone to watch the race. What a spectacle. Been a fan since I was a youngster, 1953-4. It's always a fantastic event, and I encourage anyone from around the world across this great country of ours, if you ever have the opportunity to come to Indianapolis in the month of May and attend the Indianapolis 500, you will not regret it. What a fabulous event. Of course, as always, handling the responsibilities, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and Wayne Larson, technical engineer. Jim Johnson, he's in charge of all the music, and from his massive Wild World News studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and freshly bathed Dr. Henry Day.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson.
Good evening.
How's everything going there at the Batson Wildlife Preserve?
I have no clue. It's been a wild, wacky week, you know, between the weather and this, that, and the other, but all is good. We're not wind damaged or storm damaged or anything like that, so I think for this part of the country, if you can say that, you're a lucky, lucky individual. That's right. So what's going on with Dr. Henry Day on this fine Thursday evening?
Well, just getting ready for the Memorial Weekend. Pretty excited about that. And it's the 100-year anniversary of the Indianapolis 500, so it should be a pretty spectacular event.
Well, I believe it will be, so I encourage everyone to watch it on ABC. I don't know why I'm promoting the race. The race doesn't need promoting. I mean, there's almost 500,000 people that attend the darn thing, but we just love Indy. We just love the 500, so that's all I can say about tonight. We've got a great guest tonight joining us a little bit later on, Ed Petty. He's just finished his children's book. In fact, I have a copy of it right here for everybody. Brian and Miss Pat, the environmental duo, the big event in America, and how this young man has come from nothing to something. And that's all I'm going to say. It's going to be a heartwarming evening, a great success story, and we're going to welcome Ed Petty just a little bit later on in our program. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl, and yours truly. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for just $10 per copy to WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135, shipping and handling included.
It's now time, from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening to all our listeners across the world. This is the Wild World News with Dr. Henry Day. Now, the Wild World News starts out kind of wet tonight, but before we get into it, I want to ask all of our listeners a question. What insect lives the longest?
Oh.
I want you to think about that, and I will answer the question at the end of the Wild World News.
I'm thinking.
Okay, you think about that.
I will.
All right. The Wild World news is kind of wet, as I said. We're going to start out in Concord, New Hampshire. The State Fish and Game Department is asking drivers to slow down and keep an eye out for turtles crossing the roads. Now, it's turtle nesting season in the state, which typically lasts from May until early July. During that time, the female turtles may travel several hundred yards to find a sandy or well-drained area appropriate for nesting, a place to lay their eggs. So beware.
I am proud to say that I have done my duty already this year. I have rescued two turtles crossing a road.
That is a wonderful thing. Now,
and
for
those of you who
do rescue the turtles, just make sure that you put them on the side of the road that they were heading. If you put them on the other side of the road, they're going to try to cross again. They've got something in mind. They're heading a certain direction.
Yep.
Just be careful.
And I will say that the only reason I stopped my vehicle and got out because it didn't look like they were in any big hurry, and I was just afraid that someone would not have the love that I have for these wonderful reptiles. So I encourage everyone. Good story, Doc.
But if you do stop, just be careful. Make sure you're off the road. Don't endanger yourself.
Or don't get bitten either.
That's right. Well, while we're talking turtle, let's head off to Marshall, Michigan. The last of the turtles that were cared for following last summer's oil spill, which was about 800,000 gallons of oil spilled into the river system there, the turtles have been released into the Kalamazoo River. Now, about 400 turtles have returned this spring to the river near the locations where they were found. So
fantastic.
There's a lot of turtle rescuing going on out there.
Well, that's fantastic news. I'm so thrilled to hear that. You know, we're one of the few news broadcasts that actually has good news, and that's great.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's head off to Medford, Oregon. Now, how are your? You have a couple of big black bears at your wildlife preserve now, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And how are they doing this spring?
Well, they're sick of rain, too, but they're doing quite fine. It's Buck and Faith. In fact, I had a little chat with both of them here tonight.
Good. Well, there's a story that they might enjoy hearing. Now, wet weather last spring has called up poor acorn and berry crops, which are the black bear's staples, and has led to almost 500 complaints of bear problems in the Rogue Valley. Now, biologists say that a wet spring this year has bears awakening later from their hibernation. And they say the bears are going to be a little more hungry and are generally drawn to garbage cans.
Oh.
And now the State Department has got so many complaints that they want everybody to take care of their garbage and just be aware that the bears are out there. And this is happening all across the United States.
That's right. Well, if you live in bear country, you always should be aware and concerned about what you throw away, because bears are geared by their nose, and as I've always said, they are nothing more than a four-legged garbage disposal.
That's right. How big are your bears?
Well, Buck, the boy, he's probably 450, 500 pounds. Faith, the little female, she's probably 300.
And I imagine they're hungry all the time.
Well, they pretty much are. It's hard to fill up a bear. They eat a lot of food. So, but we do the best we can.
Now, our next story, it might be a possible relative of yours. It might be a relative of the Batsons.
Uh-oh.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hmm. The Louisiana pancake batfish was named one of the top 10 species in 2010. Now, Arizona State University's International Institute for the Species Exploration announced that the curator of the fishes at the Louisiana State University's Museum of Natural Science identified the flat 2-inch bottom dweller with pebbled brown skin. Now, does that sound like a relative?
Well, I had an uncle that had pebbled brown skin, so could be.
Well, this is a new species, so we'll have to check it out. Maybe it is related.
That's very exciting.
Hey, have you done any noodling this year?
Well, as you mentioned it, I made spaghetti just last week for the wife and I.
Oh, well, not that kind of noodling. I guess we're going to have to find out. Well, there's the in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Texans who want to catch catfish with their bare hands will be able to do so under legislation approved by the state Senate.
Oh.
Now, the fine for such fishing called noodling is $500. The bill requires noodlers to have a license and a freshwater fishing stamp. Now, the measure has already passed the House and is headed for the governor's desk.
Well, you know what's involved in noodling. It's where a person wades into the water, usually up to their neck, and feels in the crevices along the bank for catfish, and they literally stick their hand in its mouth and pull them out. And we're not talking, we're talking catfish anywhere from 40, 50, 100 pounds, 150 pounds. I mean, they're monsters. And more than once, a noodler has been drug underwater by the catfish. So, the pass the law, we may lose a few Texans over that deal. What a great sport, though. That's fair, you know. That's a fair sport.
Yeah, I agree. That's more fair than a.
You know, if I was a better swimmer, I would probably even participate. Of course, I would do catch and release. Just the opportunity to do it would be fun. I wouldn't care about bringing him up and having him for dinner, but
right.
That does sound like fun, though.
Well, good luck with all those noodlers out there.
Good luck. Noodle away.
All right. Now, here's a story our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, will appreciate. Now, there's a new conservation program that everybody in the world can participate in. Now, in Miami, Florida, you can adopt a tree, you can adopt a park, you can adopt a highway, you can even adopt a manatee. Well, now, for $2,000, you can adopt a shark.
Oh.
And track its movements in real time on the Internet. Now, for $2,000, you can purchase a satellite tag to be attached to a bull shark, a hammerhead shark, or a tiger shark, tracking its movements for up to a year while you follow it in real time on the Internet. Now, a spot tag will be attached to the dorsal fin so that every time the shark surfaces, its location will be beamed to a satellite and then downloaded to a Hammerslog's computer. Now, as we've talked about, over the last year, as many as 100 million sharks are killed every year for their fins.
How many?
100 million.
100 million. Wow.
Yeah. Now, the sharks, their fins are cut off. It's called finning.
Yeah.
And they're made into a fin soup, which is an expensive delicacy in the Far East.
Mm.
Now, it's illegal to do that in the United States. And the local populations are still not in good shape because of pollution and overfishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, her fiance, Wayne Larson, who is also our technical engineer, I know there's probably, there's the Christmas holidays coming up.
Oh,
I believe
right.
She had her birthday not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. But that would, I'm sure that would make Miss Hovey quite happy.
I think it would. We'll have to talk to Wayne about that.
I think we should talk to Wayne about that, and he should get out his checkbook.
He's thanking you guys as we speak.
Tell him.
Oh, you're welcome, Wayne.
You're welcome, absolutely.
All right, now for our local listeners, you want to get up close with a tiger?
Well, I kind of do every day.
Oh, yeah, you get close to 6 tigers every day, don't you?
Yeah, I don't count, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Indianapolis Zoo's new tiger forest exhibit opens this Saturday, May 28th. Now, visitors will be able to get closer to the zoo's 3 tigers than ever before. Only a thin plate of glass will separate the visitors from the animals. Now, the tigers at the Indianapolis Zoo are Amur tigers. One is Scylla, one is Andrea, and one is Petya. And they want to show off their new exhibit. They've got a larger playground, more toys to play with, and a greater viewing area for the visitors.
Well, that's outstanding. What a good thing for the Indianapolis Zoo. Great for
it
them.
Is.
Yes.
Now, have you thought about our question at the beginning of the show? Which insect lives the longest?
Well, I did, and I have to tell you the truth that my dear wife, Cheryl, came up with the answer before the dim-witted husband could. And she said cicada.
That's correct. All right, now, because the cicada has the longest lifespan of any insect, up to 17 years, and it sheds its skin, it has long been a symbol of regeneration and rebirth for the Chinese. In ancient China, the Chinese would place jade cicadas in the mouth of the dead because they thought it would slow down the decay process and speed up rebirth into another world.
Really?
Really. And we should be hearing the cicadas here in about 2 weeks.
Oh, we cannot wait for that. It about drove us crazy the last time. So, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for that news.
That's the Wild World News for May 26th.
Well, we would like to thank Dr. Henry Day for once again an outstanding job with the Wild World News. We'd also like to thank RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And hey, listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Fantastic fishing, amazing golf. Go to their website, santeecoopercountry.org. And McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. That's God's country, everybody. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call at 317-243-0700. Those are some of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Children's book author, his brand new book, Brian and Miss Pat, the environmental duo, the big event in America. It's our honor to have a true inspiration, and everyone listening tonight, you're going to love tonight's story. From his home in Indianapolis, Indiana, author Ed Petty. Good evening, Ed.
Good evening. How you doing?
Well, we're doing good. How's the Petty household tonight?
Everything is good. Everything is real good. I'm glad to be on the show. I'm glad all the animals at the Batson Wildlife Preserve is okay and everything is good.
Well, they're good. And we were asking Ed before the show. Of course, we always like to find out if anyone has a nature connection. You do have a dog, and you said you didn't know what type of dog it was. Is that correct?
That's correct. I don't know what breed she is, but She came from Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
and is used by her owners. She has like a scar that's still visible today. It's like
oh.
a burn under her shoulder. And yeah, she's the sweetest dog though. She's not scared of humans or anything. She's amazing. Her name is Daisy.
Oh, Daisy. Well, I've always told people that we've had, I call them American-made dogs. And those are some of the best dogs in the world. And God bless you for giving it a home. I mean, gosh, we need more Ed Petties in this world.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's start off at the very beginning. You've got quite a story to tell. I understand you were born and raised in the east side of Cleveland, Ohio. In fact, that's not too far from Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. How did it all start your life?
Well, I started, you know, as a young man, just wanting to be a businessman, but the idea that I had as a businessman was an illegal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only because, you know, I saw the guys in my neighborhood doing that, so I just wanted to mimic that. I saw that they were successful, so I just wanted to mimic that. I didn't know any better. But as life went on, I learned new things, and now I'm writing children's books.
Well, you said that you were impressed by their flashy jewelry and their fast
right.
cars, and here you were in a low-class family, and you really wanted something nice for yourself.
Yeah, I just wanted something different than what my ancestors for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any retirement funds, you know, left over from ancestors and investments, you know. So that's really what drove me, you know. It's like if no one left it for me, then I have to leave it for someone else. So that's the mentality that I got.
Well, and what is wild is I'm reading your bio as we speak, that when you were 7 years old, you drank your first beer. I mean, that was basically the part of the, how do we put it, street life? Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a part of it. Just walking to the corner store.
Mm-hmm.
This older guy, older than me, and he's the guy that has the flashy jewels and the nice cars and at this age, I don't really know what success is. I don't know the meaning. So I see that and think that's what it's all about. So these guys say, "Here, young blood, you want something to drink?" And I say, "What's this?" And they say, "It's going to put some hair on your chest." So that age, I'm thinking that's something I might need in life. So, but yeah, that's just how it was. You know, that's just how it was.
You were raised by your mom, and you started off, it was pretty rough. Your mother was on assistance from the state, and
right.
basically quoting you, he says, "I grew up thinking that food stamps were really money that you could use to buy anything."
Yeah. It was funny because I was doing chores, right?
Mm-hmm.
She always had us working hard and making us understand that we have to work for the money.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, the money she gave me wasn't real money. Well, you can buy food, things like that, but you couldn't buy a TV if you wanted to with the money, from the food stamp money. And young me, I took it to the local swimming pool. It cost
mm-hmm.
$3 during the summer. And the teenage swim guards laughed at me. "Get out of here. What is this?" You know, I come up with brown $1 bills thinking I can go swimming. So, yeah, that was a lesson right there. You know, I had to show up to go swimming with three food stamp dollars.
Well, you said you weren't so much embarrassed, but you were mad.
Yeah, I was mad that, you know, I worked hard and I didn't get the real thing. You know? I thought I was getting the real thing, so I wasn't embarrassed. I didn't even know better. But, you know, I was just disappointed that I worked so hard and I didn't get to do what I wanted to do for the money I had planned to make. You know?
So what was your idea to come up with the money to save to go swimming? I mean, Did you have an idea that how you're going to make some real money?
Yes, I had an idea. One day I was walking to a grocery store, and I observed an old man. I assume he was homeless. I don't know. But he was standing outside begging for change, asking for change. I had with a cup, shaking it, and I just observed him. And some people gave, some people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But right then and there, something sparked something in my mind. And what I observed was that he was able to stand out there and get money.
Mm-hmm.
I switched it that maybe I can do the same thing, but instead of begging, maybe I should work for it. Maybe I can ask you elderly ladies if I can carry their groceries to their car and help them load it.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed, and they gave me change. I mean, it wasn't much, but, you know, 50 cents here, 75 cents there at the age of 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today you can get about $5. That
wow.
was pretty good for me. So that was, like, my first operation, you know. You know, that was my first self-employment operation, if you will.
Well, it had to make you feel pretty darn good because you're actually working for the rewards of some cash.
Well, now looking back, it makes me feel very proud of, you know, who I am and that just circumstances I didn't let circumstances control my destiny. I kind of always did the right thing and then, you know, it happened.
Then a big event happened. I imagine this was probably, I would call it almost life-changing. You were walking to the store one day and you saw two fellas talking.
I'm walking to my daily operation now. You know, mm-hmm. by this time, I can make $20 in a week. Here I am, this little kid. In a month, maybe I saved up almost $100.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I'm just this youngster. Get to the store, and I see two guys arguing, and as I walk closer, I notice the one guy pulls out a gun, and he acts with the trigger. And as he did that, I hit bushes. I mean, being from the city that I'm from, it's not hard to spot a gun and know exactly what it is and know that it's dangerous, and we hear stories all the time, so...
Mm-hmm.
It was a scary moment for me. It was horrifying. Wow. Just thinking back, just, you know, bringing back memories, it was horrifying.
That had to be something, I don't know. Did the man actually lose his life?
Yeah, the guy died, yes.
Wow.
Yes. All right.
So what happened after that?
Well, I ran home after the gunman fled. I ran home and, you know, told my mom what happened. And, you know, she kind of told me that we wasn't going to speak about it because, it's all about, like, secrecy and, you know, you don't want to, you know, butt your nose in business. You don't have no business being in. I mean, I'm this little kid just happened to see something.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't have. And her just being a protective mom, she decided that we wasn't going to, you know, say anything. So we ended up moving. The detectives did actually come to my house, though.
And oh, they did?
I was told not to, you know, say anything. And, you know, because we just didn't want to get involved like that. And we hear stories all the time about people getting involved, and then they end up losing their life and such and such. So she thought it was best for me not to say anything, so we didn't, and we ended up moving from East Cleveland to Euclid, Ohio.
That's not too far away.
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes east.
Wow. And then you said that's when the trouble started for you.
That's when it all started. I mean, I was just young and I guess going through things from stuff I witnessed and just I guess I don't know, just maybe just trying to seek out for help, but didn't really know how. So I just started getting in trouble. Just minor things, really, but just a lot of it. I started, one thing I started picked up doing was stealing.
Oh.
I don't know where I got from. Huh?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was stealing, and I don't know where I picked this stuff up from, but the new friends that I started to accumulate, we just started going to the local malls and stealing until one day we get caught, and our parents had to come up there to get us. It was embarrassing, but, man, I remember that like it happened yesterday. Our parents had to come up there and get us, and I vowed not to ever steal again.
That was probably a pretty big lesson in your life, wasn't it, Ed?
Yeah, that was a huge lesson because, like, it was humbling to understand the fact that when I got arrested or when I got caught for stealing, the cops set us down in the back of the mall, like in like the security room, and he was talking to us, trying to put some sense into our young minds, and he looked at all of us and said, you know, that's somebody's property y'all stealing. You know, like somebody invested their money for that merchandise out there. Like, someone owns that. And how would you like it if someone stole something that you own? And that just kind of hit me, just being just a smart young guy and just understanding, you know, property.
Right.
So I understood exactly where he came from, and I never, ever stole again. So that was a good lesson. That was a
good
lesson.
Our guest tonight is Ed Petty, a children's book author, with quite the story to tell us. And it will continue on right after these brief messages. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. We want to tell everyone that next week on the program, our old friend Benny Williams will be back as we prepare to head east. I'll be in Washington, D.C. the first Monday of June at the big event that they have each year where they bring the youngsters in from all over inner city Washington. We're going to go fishing right next to the World War II Memorial. So if you're in Washington on that particular Monday, and gosh, I wish I had the date. I think it's June 5th or 6th, but it's a Monday. And stop by and say hi. We'll be there with snakes and lizards and turtles and teaching the kids about all that sort of thing. And they're going to go fishing. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. So next week on the show, we'll listen to the wonderful and always inspirational Benny Williams. We want to thank iKidsFishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA starring kids teaching kids how to fish. What a concept. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. For more info, go to We Want You Cottages at www.wewantyou.com. They're located on Chautauqua Lake in western New York, and it's one of America's finest fishing resorts. That's We Want You Cottages at wewantyou.com. And also invite everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand new Facebook page. I strongly encourage you to join that group, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Tonight we're talking to children's book author Ed Petty, and we're kind of doing a biography tonight with Ed as we go through this life that it's absolutely amazing what he's seen and what he's gone through to become this fine young author. And we hope very successful. His first children's book just out, Brian and Miss Pat, The Environmental Duel. And watch your website where folks can order that book, Ed.
The website is www.willowkids.com. That's spelled W-I-L-L-O-K-I-D-Z. I know it's spelled kind of funky, but it's just
Whatever works. So you're the president of... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's willowkids.com, W-I-L-L-O-A-I-D-E-Z.
Yep. Okay. And if anybody contacts me with wants more information, I'll be more than happy to pass it along. So you've decided that the life of a thief wasn't a good thing. So then you decided on another little illegal enterprise that might be more successful. That didn't go very well either, did it, Ed?
Yeah, that didn't go well. What you're referring to is when I started, selling illegal marijuana.
Oh.
Yeah, that hit rock bottom real soon. I learned a hard lesson with that. Every bad thing, you learn a hard lesson. And the important thing, as long as you pick yourself back up and try something else, do better. I always try to do better and learn more,
Right.
It's just living and learning.
Well, it's true, and there was your first investment, and then your mother finds it, and she flushes it down the toilet.
she just flushes it, and I'm mad, I got to be honest. This is how I'm going to be successful. at this age, it's like I'm almost at the point where I am, I am what I used to see.
Mm-hmm.
I used to see guys with the flashy jewels. Like, I feel like this is the way to get to that.
Yeah.
So I'm just not thinking clearly at this point. And I'm just doing bad, man. I'm just out there selling drugs and just doing bad, and I'm so glad that I'm not that guy. I'm just pounded by the level it took to get to where I am.
Oh,
absolutely. I end up going to prison for selling drugs, and that's what I'm saying, And I even been to prison, and I'm writing children's books. I mean, I've came a long way,
Have. In fact, you had said that you had met a gentleman who operated the corner store, and he was trying to steer you in the right direction.
Yeah. One day we just got to talking, and we just shooting the breeze or whatever, and we just talking. And, he tells me his story just a little bit. He just tells me that he's from Arabian, and he's Arabian, and... you know, he come, him and his wife and his family come here, and they start a business, and they had a rough time, you know, back in that country, in this country, and it was just amazing. And then he told me that he owned the building that the store was in. Now, that was fascinating to me because I didn't comprehend before that that's what everybody who has a business do. Like, it just didn't comprehend that someone owns the building or owned the property until he explained it to me. So one day, walking downtown, I look up and I see the skyscrapers, and I'm like, well, if he said that he owned this corner store,
mm-hmm.
then that means someone owned this skyscraper. It was just, that was just fascinating. So he opened my eyes to it. You know, just thinking outside my normal box. Now I wasn't thinking about weed. I'm thinking about skyscrapers. I mean, it was just amazing. Just the things I learned along the way, just by people just talking. I just picked up on it, and my brain just got to working, you know.
Well, you were 18 years old when this happened, and then you turned 19, and then you were stopped by a police officer for speeding and arrested for having weed and a gun in your position, in your possession, excuse me. And you stated at that moment it was the worst time of your life.
It was rough. It was the worst and the best. I say that because, you know, of course, getting arrested is never fun. You know,
right?
It's always embarrassing for one. You know, you're always in shame. You know, but the good thing that came out of that is that I met a fella in the city jail by the name of Tony Mays, and he introduced me. First of all, I was the only one there for I got arrested on Friday the 19th, 2003. It was 2003, and it was a Friday night, and I'm the only guy in the city jail. I thought that was weird. Right? It's a small town. I thought I was the only guy. I thought that was weird on a Friday night.
Really?
Yeah, usually you get the drunks, and you just get crazy sometimes, you know. The next day comes. Now it's 24 hours. I've been in here for 24 hours. They won't let me out till Monday. Then it's the weekend. Right? I'm not saying I've been there a lot. I just know how it goes. Right? All right. So you know, next day come, and this guy shows up. He's in there for something very minor compared to my charge. It's an old driving ticket. Very minor. And, you know, he tells me what he had to get in there, which was the traffic tickets, and he asked me, what did I do? So I tell him, and he looked at me and said, if I can show you a way to make money without selling drugs in the community, would you be it? And I thought for a second, and then I said, I am interested, because you see, always was looking for a way out.
Mm-hmm.
I was always looking for a way out. I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. It was just, at that moment, that was the only thing I knew. Without having a father figure to show you what's, you know, what's right and what's wrong, or how to make money on different levels, or just how to use your brain and come up with something on your own. I never had that. So for him to sit down in the jail cell and ask me that question, would I change if he showed me how? I said yes. And that's exactly what happened. From that moment, he started talking about stocks and bonds. And I never heard stocks and bonds from no black man before. So that was just interesting to me. He was older. He was 10 years older than me. I was 18, no, I just turned 19, and so he was almost 30. And, you know, schooled me on these stocks and bonds, and I grabbed a piece of paper and took notes. I still have that piece of paper to this day. I'll show you one day. So that was amazing. That was amazing. It changed my life forever. I'm forever indebted by Tony Mays.
God bless Tony Mays.
He's a good man. He's a good man for that.
So you were later introduced to a man named, is it Ken Camel?
Ken Kamal.
Kamal, okay.
Now, Ken Kamal was a lot brighter than Tony Mays. No offense to Tony Mays.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Kamal had, how do I want to say? He had the spark. You know, he had the drive. He had... Yeah, he had the knowledge, and he saw me and saw my ambition, and always said that I reminded, you know, me of him, you know, back in his day. So he took me under his wing and showed me a lot and taught me a lot, but I watched a lot. I got to give a lot of credit to me because I watched, and I applied. It was a great time.
That's a big problem with the young people of the day, the young men, that not having a father figure to, as you put it earlier, to guide them.
That's correct. I think so. And since I was young, I always looked for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that in Tony Mays and in Ken Kamal, because they both were 10 years older than they were both older than I was, so I kind of saw that in them, you know, just, you know, older male role models that was doing the right thing. So that's what was important to me.
And that basically, you just started thinking different about Ed Petty's life, didn't you?
Yeah, man. You gotta live, and doing. And you do bad, you're not living. You know, you're scheduling an early death, you know, and I didn't want to go out like that. So I changed.
So you had to do time, we'll put it that way, for your arrest for the gun possession and for the possession of marijuana. How long, right before you went to jail or to prison, you invested $500 with Ken Kamal?
Yeah, I did. They were starting up a small brokerage firm, and would be helpful and to my best interest to invest $500 with them, and I did. And I was proud to do so. I was proud to be a part of something like that. That was just a dream come true to even say that. I'm willing to bet you the guys I was hanging around would not be able to say anything like that. You know, it's just amazing now that I'm looking back and talking about it. It's just amazing just thinking back and how far I came.
Well, you know the old saying that we've heard more than once, it takes a village to raise a child. That's so true, isn't it, Ed?
It's true.
So you give Ken Kamal $500, and you then after that you have to go away for a while. How long did you have to go for?
I had to go away for 18 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm 19, fresh out of high school.
My gosh.
I wasn't no dumb kid. You know, I stayed in school as, you know, I would do my business on the outside, but still handle my business in school. I wasn't no dropout. I did graduate, so I was no dumb kid. I always learned you gotta have two. You gotta be smart in both ways. You gotta be street smart and you gotta be book smart. So I took advantage of that.
Well, you actually started your own enterprise in the prison.
That's true. But other people was doing it. But I watched them and picked up on it. What they were doing was it's a system that's called 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like if you come to me and I got a summer sausage. You want a barley, you want to make a pizza or something, noodles with the meat in it, who knows. But if you borrow one from me, next time you give me two. It's just a two-for-one system.
Mm.
And another side job I had was I was a shoe cleaner. A lot of guys kind of like talk down on that. I guess because, you know, I was cleaning shoes. I guess the same way a person would look at a janitor, like a, you know, non-worthy job position, right? But it
right.
was my own. It was my second, you know. So, but it didn't bother me.
Well, and also, as you said, by writing the letters, you realized your writing skills with various friends that you sent letters complimented you on your writing abilities. So little did you know that was going to be the start of something very good.
Well, here's the story behind that. I always knew I could write.
Mm-hmm.
I found when I lived in East Cleveland in the elementary school, my teacher, I forget her name, I wish I remembered her name, but she pulled me aside at the class. And I'm nervous because I'm a good kid at this time. You know, I'm kind of nervous. Like, what did I do wrong? And she said to me that I had a unique writing ability. And I always remember that. But I never knew what she meant because she didn't elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in my family ever, you know, set me aside and told me I had a good writing ability. So until I went to prison is when I started really thinking about what she said and started trying to work on that, that gift. And I kind of knew I had that. That she didn't owe me anything, so she didn't have to tell me that. But I felt it came from the heart.
Well, I'm sure that it did. And here you were, 21 years old. You finally do your time. You've paid your debt to society. And as you put it, I was truly rehabilitated and ready to enter society with a focused plan of succeeding. You came home, and Tony Mays and Ken Kamal were waiting on your arrival. And there you go. You meet them at their new office located in downtown Cleveland. You were so proud how far they had come in only a short time. And this is when my knowledge was turned up a notch.
Oh, yes. I learned a lot of things. I was just proud to get through what I just got through and to be where I knew I was going to be. Before I even went in prison, you know, I knew I was going to be right back with Tony Mays and Paul. And I figured we was going to have an office, and we did. And I was just proud to be a part of that once again. I was very proud to be a part of that once again, and to be looking at life in a new direction. But I was already looking at life in a new direction before I even went. So it was just a continuation of keep moving forward.
Well, and God bless your mother. You had a cousin that had been shot and killed, and I guess she just realizes that this is no place for my son anymore, and you take off and you move to Indianapolis, Indiana, and you're basically starting your life over.
Start off with a clean slate. I mean, you know, I can never forget where I come from, you know, but I'm just looking forward now. I lost my cousin in 2008, January. But, you know, I moved here to start a new slate, and it's just to do right and get away from all the nonsense, and things been looking up since then. So I'm very proud of my mom for taking that step and not being afraid and, you know, moving out here.
Well, we're proud to have you as a part of the community here in Indianapolis, and I will have to tell you that you were so kind to actually sign and give me a copy of your new book, and it's really a pretty cool story. In fact, the characters in the book, Brian and Miss Pat, were people that inspired you in your life.
Yeah, Brian and Miss Pat are real people. The characters I got from real people, Brian and Miss Pat, from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh.
So here's the story about that. So I'm in Indy, and I get a phone call from, by the way, by this time, the brokerage firm is no longer in existence.
Oh.
Things just didn't work out down there. I was just an intern, so I kind of didn't really know, you know, the deep ins and outs of what happened or what have you. But I just remember getting a phone call, and they were no longer, I guess, my business downtown. Or at all, for that matter. So I was kind of like, now what do I do? So I started taking my writing just a little bit more serious. And I get a phone call from Ken Kamal maybe a year later, and he's saying that he started a new enterprise that's called, I won't mention the name, but he started a new enterprise and that he would like for me to come down and help him out. And I thought that would be an excellent thing because, like I said, I was just an intern at the previous company that he was starting, an investment firm.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good thing for me to come down there and help him start his own, another business. So I went and we had good times, but things didn't go right once again, and I ended up leaving. I had to leave. But how I met Brian and Miss Pat is the way I left. You see, they ordered me to catch a plane, but they didn't give me any way to get hotel fare. So I was just gonna be stuck at the airport. You know, like, you know, they kind of did me dirty on that one. I was like, wow. I mean, these are guys I looked up to since I was 19, you know. And since I was 19, I'm now 23. You know, so that was kind of like heartbreaking, man, to not be friends with the guys I thought were my best friends, you know. I kind of thought that was a little heartbreaking, and I cried right then and there when they told me I had to pack up and leave, and it was rough. It was rough. So I get to the airport, and I go up to the customer service desk, right? And this sweet lady is up there, and I'm asking her if she like had access to the lockers so I can put my luggage in, because my friends, who I thought was my friends, didn't give me any money for any hotel fare or anything. They just kind of just kicked me to the curb, you know, and so I was just out there. I guess 800 miles away from Indiana.
Wow.
You know, so I meet Miss Pat, and she says, you know, what's wrong and what happened? So I tell her what happened in a short time. And so she's on the phone trying to get me to get into a shelter, you know, a shelter for a couple of days. All the shelters are full. I mean, no buck is coming from anywhere. So she called over her buddy, which is a cop that worked at the Las Vegas airport. And he's a dog. He's like the patrol dog. You know, dog in a canine, and you know, he comes over and she tells him the story in a short form, and then, you know, the greatest thing happened. They both came out of their pocket for me to have a hotel fare. They didn't know me from Adam and Eve. I mean, I just thought that was one of the most amazing things. Besides the other amazing things that's happened in my life to get me to where I am. I was
impressed. Yes, and I would have to say that the good Lord is watching out for Ed Petty. He's definitely steered you in the right directions. And your new children's book, The Brian and Miss Pat, The Environmental Duo, A Big Event in America, is absolutely outstanding. I encourage all of my listeners around the world to get your copy. And your website again, Ed?
Willowkids.com.
Yes, W-I-L-L-O, kids.com. Ed, we want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was truly outstanding, and I hope you were an inspiration to many, many, many.
Have more time.
I wish we did have more time. I told you this hour would fly by.
Yeah, man, I got to going, and, man, I'm not even done. I want to continue.
Oh, well, we'll definitely have you back on the show again. I have a special announcement to make to everybody. A good friend of mine, John Swayze, he's the pastor at the Forest Park Baptist Church in Joplin, Missouri, and we're all familiar with all the horrible things that happened to that community. They are, of course, need of lots of things. Of course, money's it. I want to give everyone their address, and I've been told that the money goes directly to the victims. No overhead, no salaries. It goes to the right place. And it is the Forest Park Baptist Church, 725 Highview, Joplin, Missouri, 64801. And we hope to have John on the next few weeks so he can tell us the updates on what's going on with the fine folks at Joplin, Missouri. Also want to tell everyone that next week on the program, Benny Williams will be talking fishing. Perfect time of the year. Everybody's getting their fishing poles out and getting ready to go. I'd like to thank Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. As always, a wonderful job. And, of course, Dr. Henry Day.
Pretty inspirational evening.
It was. Ed Petty was a wonderful guest. We're so thrilled to have him on. We'll do this again, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. You betcha.
Folks, it's Thursday night. Tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.